This morning's sermon is called Life and Judgment Are Through the Son. From the book of John, chapter 5, verse 24 through 30, as we continue to go through the Gospel of John, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. This is a heavy passage, a sobering passage. The title of this sermon speaks for itself. Life and Judgment Are Through the Son, Jesus Christ. This is an important passage to read and to know well. Let's go through the Word of God. We're going to look at verse 24. Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but he has passed from death to life." Hallelujah. This verse is good enough for me. Let's take communion. Just kidding. What a verse. He who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. Hallelujah. Jesus starts out with, "Most assuredly I say to you," which means, as I went over last week, listen up, you need to know this. This is what this means. Jesus said this in our passage last Sunday in verse 19. He said, "Most assuredly I say to you," which means, listen up, you need to know this. Jesus is telling us in the Scriptures, this is the truth, this is the Word of God, and you need to know this. This is the difference between everlasting life and everlasting condemnation. It's the difference between heaven and hell. This is a heavy passage. Here's the good news. Jesus said, "He who hears my word and believes in him, the Father, who sent me, Jesus Christ, the Son, has everlasting life and has not and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Thanks be to God." If you are in Christ Jesus, you have passed from death to life in him. You have escaped the second death. It's all about our Lord Jesus Christ and your relationship with him. This is exactly what Jesus is telling us. You are either in the kingdom of God because of him, or you're out because of the lack of him. This is what the Lord Jesus wants us to know. If you have Jesus, he's saying, if you have me, you have life. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, right? John 14, 6. He's clear in the Scriptures. It's all about where you stand with our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? It's all where you and him stand. Let's continue in verse 25. Jesus continued with, "Most assuredly I say to you." Second time in this passage, Jesus telling us again, listen up, you need to know this. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead, the spiritual dead, will hear the voice of the Son of God through his word, and those who hear will live. Verse 24, "Most assuredly I say to you." Verse 25, "Most assuredly I say to you." You think Jesus wants us paying attention? Twice. Two back-to-back verses. Jesus saying, you absolutely need to know this. Jesus said, the hour is coming. What hour is Jesus talking about? The hour is coming. Glad you asked. He's talking about the final judgment. If you brought your Bible with you this morning, I want you to turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 20. This is the judgment that Jesus is talking about. You can go to your pew Bibles if you don't have your Bible with you. It's on page 1897. This is the judgment Jesus is talking about in our passage. Revelation chapter 20. This is the judgment that Jesus wants us to know and understand. I want you to jump down to verse 11. We're going to read 11 through 15. This is the great white throne judgment. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15, the great white throne judgment. Listen to what the Apostle John writes. He said, then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was not found no place for them. And I saw the dead. He's talking about the dead coming out of the grave. Small and great, standing before God. And the books were open. So we know there's going to be many books at the judgment. And another book was open, John wrote, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, their evil deeds, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them out of the graves, out of hell. And they were judged. Here we go again. Same thing. Each one according to his works, his evil deeds. Okay? Verse 15, 14. Then the death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Verse 15. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the judgment that our Lord Jesus Christ is talking about. He says, the hour is coming. The time is coming. And you need to know this. He said, most assuredly, I say to you twice. You need to know this, for this is the final judgment. On this day of judgment, there will not be 1 ounce of mercy and not one drop of grace, only justice. Only justice. All those who have rejected God and His Word, rejected Jesus Christ and the gospel, and lived for themselves, they lived in sin, they never came to Christ, through repentance and faith, will be judged at the great white throne judgment. For what? For the evil deeds they did here on the earth while they were alive. They will stand before Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment. This is what Jesus is telling us in this passage. You need to know this. He said it twice. These people will have their day in court, and they will stand before the judge of all the universe and be evaluated for their evil deeds. They will receive their eternal verdict, their eternal destiny from here. Jesus has the power to give life, and He has the power to judge life. This is what our Lord is telling us. This is a heavy passage. This is a serious passage. When God created man, he gave us a body, a soul, and a spirit. And when we die physically, scriptures are clear, our body goes back into the grave, which you guys know, and our soul immediately goes into one or two places, heaven or hell, depending on your relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible's clear on that. Our body goes back into the grave, and our soul and our spirit goes into one of those two places, waiting for what? For the final judgment. This is why Jesus says, I'm telling you right now, most assuredly I say to you, and if you didn't hear me the first time, most assuredly I say to you, you have to know this. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He's speaking of the saved. 2 Corinthians 5:8. When you die, you immediately, your soul goes into heaven. If you're saved, goes into hell if you're not saved. Bible's clear. Immediately, right? Like Jesus told the thief on the cross who repented, you will be with me today in paradise. Job asked God, if a man dies, shall he live? What's the answer? Every single one of us. Your soul never dies, just so you know. Your soul is who you really are. Your soul, your spirit, is who you really are. And the Bible says your soul will never die. Never die. Notice Jesus said in this verse, after Jesus said the hour is coming, he also said, and now is. What is Jesus talking about when he said that? And now is. It means the time is now to hear his voice and come to him. He says, the time is now, before it's too late. It's time is now to hear God's voice, his word, and believe. So you will what? Pass from death to life in Christ. We are living in the age of grace. What's that mean? That means God is willing to forgive you right up until you take your last breath. Problem is, you don't know when that is. Jesus saying, the time is now. The time is now. God is willing to forgive us if we repent and believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. And we receive him as our, listen, we receive him as our Lord and Savior. Not just Savior. Lord. Bow before the King of all the universe. Not just Savior. Oh, it's easier to say, oh, yeah, I accepted Jesus when I was, 15. Yeah, I'm good. Been living like the devil since, though. I'm good. I accepted him. But has he accepted you? Is he Lord? Is he Lord of your life? Everything you own is his. Amen? The money you put in the offering today, he blessed you with that. What'd you do? You gave grace back. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to bless you too. I understand this is yours anyway. That's why I call it grace offerings. Grace is a gift. You don't have to do it. Whether it's a penny or it's $100. It was his. If you are in Christ. Everything you own, that car out there you came in, that's his. He blessed you with it. And now we bless him, Lord. This was yours to begin with. I want to give back to you. I want to help the advancement of your kingdom and your church. And God is willing to save us by grace. Jesus said, the time is now to turn to the Lord if you haven't. I'm telling you right now, if there's anybody here, you haven't surrendered your life to Christ, it's time. It's time. Jesus is telling us in the scripture, don't put this off any longer. You don't know what tomorrow holds. In the book of Hebrews chapter 9, 27, it says, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this is the judgment, Everyone has appointed time to die. It's already in the books. We're not going to get around this, guys. It's coming. We just don't know when. Jesus is saying, that's why the time is now. This is the gospel right here, right in the scriptures. Because the thing is, no one knows when their appointed time is. Only God knows. Only God knows when He's going to take your last breath from you. So Jesus is, He's almost imploring us. He's begging us. The time is now to hear God's voice and believe it. Because after this, after your appointed time, Jesus is telling us in Scripture, there's a judgment coming. And you need to know this. If you haven't surrendered your life to Christ, the time is here. You know what the Bible says, right? You guys know this, right? What's the Bible say? Today is the day of salvation, right? Amen? Right? You know that. You shared that with people. Today's the day of salvation. Today's the day to get right with the Lord. It's time to give your life to Christ now. The Apostle Paul, he wrote in Hebrews chapter 3, he says, if you hear God's voice, how do you hear God's voice? Through His Word. Okay? If you hear God's voice, do not harden your heart. And Paul wrote the same thing in the next chapter, chapter 4, in case you didn't hear it the first time. He said, if you hear God's voice, do not harden your heart. What God say in the book of Amos, chapter 5, verse 4? He said, seek me and live, says the Lord. Turn to me with all your heart, says the Lord. Joel 2:12. There is no Savior besides me, says the Lord. Hosea 13:4. God is inviting us to come to Him all through Scripture. But He gives us the free will. He gives us the free will. Right? I've told you this last week. God values relationship based on choice, which makes Him amazing. He wants you to want Him. He's like, if you don't want me, no problem. I won't come into your life. But if you want me, look out, because I'm coming. All it takes is a curious heart and a hungry heart for God, and all He will move into your life. It all starts from a curious heart. I want to know more about God. A little hungry heart is all Jesus needs to come into your life. Let's take a look at verse 26 and 27. Jesus said, for as the Father has life in Him. What do you mean by that? He's self-existence. Okay, He's self-existent. So He has granted the Son to have life in Him. Same thing, He's self-existent. Okay, as well. And has given Him, Jesus, authority to execute judgment. Also, because He is the Son of Man. Now, the title Son of Man is very important for you to understand. Okay, He's the Son of God, right? In the Scriptures, He's also the Son of Man, right? It's very important to understand this. Jesus, being God, took on flesh. Right? He became a man. He lived the perfect righteous life that we could not live. Right? But He was without sin. That's the difference between Him and us. Okay? It qualifies Him to sit and judge the world as the Son of Man because He was without sin. So He's the Son of God. He's also the Son of Man, which qualifies Him to judge man. Okay? It's the Son of Man. So when you read through your scriptures in the morning or before you go to bed at night, whenever you see the Son of Man, you'll know. And I want you to know this, which we talked about a few weeks ago. Jesus also, being the Son of Man, came and lived in the flesh. He knows what it's like to walk in our shoes. Now you may say, yeah, not my shoes. You don't know what I've been through. Oh, I'm sure Jesus does. Yes, Jesus is fully God. He's also fully man. So guess what? He knows what it's like to be tired. We read through the scriptures. Jesus was tired. He was weary. He was thirsty by the well with the Samaritan woman. He knows what it's like to be thirsty. He knows what it's like to be hungry. He knows what it's like to be exhausted. Pain, suffering. He knows. And that's why he has so much compassion on us. He walked as a human, right? Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do not have a high priest, Jesus, who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, but without sin." Okay? Jesus knows what you're going through. He knows those things. He cried, right? The shortest verse in the Bible, right, says Jesus wept, right? He's crying, right? When Mary and her sister, right, Martha came running after him when Lazarus died, he saw how broken they were. "Oh, Jesus, if you were here, he wouldn't have died. If you would have came." It says he groaned and he wept. He knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. That's not the problem. But he saw their sadness and how broken they were, and it bothered him. He knows, right? Jesus came to save us, yes. But he also came to identify with us as humans. And guess what? Like we do with him in baptism, which is coming up. When we get baptized, we are identifying with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection to the newness of life in Christ Jesus. Okay? He identified with us as a human, and now when we come to Christ, we identify with him, his death, burial, and resurrection to the newness of life in him. Praise God. Oh, the meaning of baptism is greater than the actual act. Swimming around down at the lake, that's great, it's fun. Some of you I hold under a little longer than others. My brothers in Christ, hey, you can do it. No, just kidding. But the meaning is just so much greater, knowing why you're doing this. You came and identified me. You went to the cross with me. I want to identify with you, with your death. I'm going to die to self, right? I'm going to die to self and live for you. The meaning of baptism is so important that you understand that. I got baptized when I was 14 years old. I didn't have a clue. My mom signed us up for the church. She didn't even know. She said, "Hey, they're having a baptism down in Concord. We're going to go. A friend said we can go. Well, I guess we're going to heaven. We're going to go get baptized. We're good to go. Let's do it. Sounds good to me. I couldn't get my bathing suit fast enough." We didn't have a clue what that meant. No one even told us. So our whole family got rebaptized back in 2018 in Christ because we knew. Baptism is an expression of your love and commitment to Jesus Christ, listen, as your Lord and Savior. It's your expression of love for Christ and your commitment to Christ. He says, "You go get baptized in my name. You belong to me." You are declaring to the world and to the Lord, "I have placed all my faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone to be saved." And listen, "and I now have chosen to live for him for the rest of my life. He's my Lord. He's my Savior." Full commitment, all in with Christ. That's what you're doing. You go under that water, you come back up. You've been made new in Christ. So sacred. Let's go on. Let's move on to verse 28 and 29. Jesus continued. This is all Jesus speaking, this whole passage. We're going to go right through this whole chapter. This is Jesus speaking to us. Look at this verse 28. Look what Jesus says. "Do not marvel at this." That's what he says, right? "For the hour is coming." He brings it up again. The final judgment. "In which," look at the next word, "in which," what's that say? "All who are in the graves," everyone who has ever died, "will hear his voice," look at this, "and come forth." Will come forth. those who have done good to the resurrection of life, right, the new life, the saved, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. What's that mean? To be sentenced to everlasting punishment for eternity. Now, when he says to those who have done good and those who have done bad, he's not talking about your good work save you. You need to be clear on that. That's not. He's just saying you've done good. You've understand my word and you've come to me as Lord and Savior. You've done good. You heeded my voice. You've come to me. You've done good. And you're going to pass from life to death to life. Right? And he says, but those who rejected me, those will be sentenced. Jesus told, Jesus writes, do not marvel that I say this to you. You know the funny thing is? Well, it's not funny, but the thing is, these are the same words that he said to Nicodemus in chapter 3. Do you remember? Right? Remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus? He said, Nicodemus, do not marvel at this. Same words. He's telling us, don't marvel at this. He said, Nicodemus, do not marvel at this, that I told you, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. He said, Nicodemus, don't marvel at this. You must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. He told Nicodemus that three times in verse 1 through 9. Nicodemus was probably had a face on him like, what? What do you mean born again? What's that mean? He said, don't marvel at this. You must be born again. And now Jesus says, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming, the final judgment, in which all who are in the graves will hear the voice of God and come forth. Notice Jesus said all. Everyone will hear God's voice and come forth out of the graves. Excuse me. You know, just like I was just talking about Lazarus. Lazarus, right? Jesus called him from the dead. Remember, he was dead. He was toast. Dead is dead, right? 4 days. Dead. What did Jesus say? Lazarus, come forth. What did Lazarus do? Came walking out of the tomb. Jesus says, everyone who's ever lived is going to do the same thing. Everyone, Jesus said, will hear God's voice and come forth out of the grave for the final judgment. Jesus is telling us everyone who has ever lived or is going to live will be raised from the dead. Your family members, your friends, your co-workers, your mechanic, everyone you've come in contact with, including you, are going to come forth out of the grave. This is heavy. I warned you guys in the beginning. This is a heavy passage. This is when everyone who has ever lived will be given a new body that will accompany them for eternity. Those in Christ will be given a beautiful body, the scripture says, to God's liking. And those who are outside of Christ will be given a body that can withstand destruction for eternity. Your soul is going to meet with a new body. Not your body you're running around with now. It's not going to be like that. But you're going to have a new body. The good news, those in Christ, those who are written in the book of life will not be judged. You will not be at the great white throne judgment. Hallelujah! You will not be there in the long line on that day. We have passed from death, the judgment, into life. We will stand our judgment if you are in Christ. This is important for you to know, and you probably do. The saved will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Okay? Big difference. Those at the great white throne judgment, when their soul and their new body connects, they're going to be in the line. at the great white throne judgment that John wrote about in Revelation 20. The saved is going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. Well, what are we going to be doing there? I thought we weren't going to be judged. That's where you stand, and you will receive rewards for your good works that you did on the earth. We've already been forgiven. God looks at you. Jesus looks at you. He sees you. He sees Christ. What God say? Once you come to me and you surrender your life to me, I'll remember your sins no more. Past, present, future. Washed. Sin debt paid in full. Nailed to the cross. You will be standing in that line waiting for your rewards. That's it. That's your judgment. Those of you in Christ, that's your judgment. How many rewards am I going to get today? How many crowns am I going to get today? Some 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, some no-fold maybe. Still be saved, but you won't have any fruit to bear before Jesus. That's where we receive our rewards. Now listen, this is so important for you to understand. I want you to know this. You are only going to receive rewards that you did, your good works that you did, listen, that were done with the right motive. You weren't seeking anything in return. Oh, remember I did that for you? Yeah, well, you going to pay me back someday? We're waiting here. No. Okay? You did something nice for somebody with the right heart. You want to help them with the right heart. And here's the second part to that. And you didn't seek 1 ounce of glory. You didn't seek 1 ounce of glory. Whatever it was you did for someone, it was from the heart. I want to help this person. And I don't need anybody to know about it. Only God knows. You're going to receive a reward for that in heaven. But if you sound the thimble, hey, look what I did. Yeah, you know those people down there? Yeah, I fed them. They didn't have lunch today. Went down there, got them lunch. Yeah, pretty neat, huh? Nice of me. You will not get one drop of reward for doing that. What's God say? I will not share my glory with anyone. It was me who put it on your heart to help this man or this woman, and you took the glory. You gave, and you wanted everyone to know. You will not get nothing. It's got to be with the right motive and the right heart, and you weren't seeking 1 ounce of glory. I didn't even want anyone to know I did that for that person. I did it so fast, I snuck out. I just want God to know. God, that was on my heart to do that for them. And God says, and I'm going to greatly reward you for doing that. Important for you to know. Let's look at our final verse. I know we still got communion to do. It's a powerful passage. We're going to go to verse 30, our final verse here. Excuse me. Jesus said, verse 30, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, right? He's always in perfect harmony with the Father. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous. Why? Because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. That's the Son wanting to do the Father's perfect will. Like you and me in Christ want to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable and good in the sight of God. Are we perfect? No. We're not going to be perfect. But we're going to try our best, through our best ability, to live in holiness before the Lord and do His will. Right? Jesus is saying, my Father and I are working out all things together. I want you to know that. My Father and I are working out all things together. Listen, according to His will. And He said, and we judge in righteousness and truth. Right? We judge in righteousness and truth. Everybody on the day of judgment will get exactly what they deserve. Some, it's going to be worse than others. God is a just judge. He's a fair judge. And those who rejected Him and His Word and His Son, they're going to get exactly what they deserve. Sadly, that's why we've got to share the gospel. Amen? If they don't know it, then they're not going to know it unless you go. and plant the seed. Now, before I finish, I want to share a short writing on a tombstone with you. It's pretty neat. It lightens things up a little. You guys are getting as serious as I am about God's Word, which is great. But I want to just share this with you. I've shared this writing with you, some of you before. This is a writing on a tombstone. I've shared this at funerals that I've done, okay? Some funerals, right? There's an Indiana cemetery, okay? And it has the following, right? It's old, this tombstone is over 100 years old in this Indiana cemetery, and it has this writing on the tombstone. Listen very carefully. Pause, stranger, when you pass me by. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you will be. Prepare yourself to follow me. Now another person came by and added this to it. To follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went. Pretty neat, huh? Oh, is that neat. Amen to that. To follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went. That's awesome. All right, go ahead. We'll stand. We'll sing our...